Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. Hope it's a nice day wherever you are. It's a nice day here. And we're going to have a very interesting conversation with a life coach. I love to talk to life coaches because sometimes they can be of such a help to people. And as you know, coaching has become such a big profession in this country. There is a coach out there who can help you with almost every aspect of your life. Doesn't matter whether it's your corporate life or your personal life, your family life, whatever. Somebody is there who can help you. And normally when people go to a good life coach or a coach, it makes a big difference in their lives, big difference in their lives. Our guest today is Jane Song. She is a life coach. She is also a trained therapist who empowers her clients to live the life they've always dreamed of living. Wouldn't that be great if you could live the life you thought you always wanted to live? Well, it's possible. For the most part, it is. You might need help. And if you do, here's someone who might be able to help you. She focuses on helping people get unstuck in life by navigating challenges and discovering their potential so they can reach their life goals. As Jane puts it, coaching is her passion. It's what she's been made to do, helping people in such a deeper way. But I must tell you, this lady has an extraordinary background. Before she became a coach, she spent 8 years in the fashion industry working with such renowned design brands as Karl Lagerfeld, Kate Spade, and Paul Smith. She moved 8 times internationally, living on 4 different continents in the process. She works with her clients to restore their identity because it took her forever to find out who she was. That's how she puts it. She says she went through a journey to find out who Jane was. There was always something pulling her forward every time. Not to say the fear wasn't there, but every time she moved, she was on a path to something greater. And she points out that a coach is someone you can talk to about tomorrow. What can we do tomorrow to make our lives better? And that's why Jane's work is so completely transformational. She helps clients see how disconnected the actions they take are from their values. And her job is to connect them and help them discover their dreams, their dream life, and what pulls them forward. It's really, when you come right down to it, to inspire people to discover who they really are and then use that power to pull them forward toward their future self. Of course, there's no guarantee that you're going to reach it or no express to success. You all have to go through hurdles, but those challenges are the things that make you stronger. This is a little bit about Jane's story. It's a fascinating story. She is based in South Hamilton, Massachusetts, and I can't wait to talk to her. She's a brilliant lady, has a wonderful, wonderful website. I'll give you the address of that website in a little bit as we go along. But let's begin by talking to Jane again. Her name is Jane Song. She is a life coach, and she has had an amazing life to date so far. Jane, good morning. Nice to have you. Actually, it's afternoon. Sorry about that. Nice to have you with us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me, Doug.
Listen, it's our pleasure to have you. We've been excited to having you on this show. I'm so impressed by your background and what you got into before you became a coach. Let's talk about your background. I think people are always amazed to hear what coaches have done before they got into coaching. It gives them a pretty good idea of, well, you know, that's somebody who could really help me. So for a couple of moments, minutes or so, let's talk about Jane Song and what brought Jane Song to where she is today. I know you grew up, you didn't grow up in this country. Tell me a little bit about your backstory.
Right.
How would you tell it? Tell me, but go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you so much for asking. Well, I am a first-generation immigrant from China. I moved here when I was 14. So your listeners may know about China's one-child policy. Well, I was born as a second child during the one-child policy. So most families back then really preferred boys. And a large part of my life was to prove to the world that I deserve to exist, that I had potentials. You know, Doc, that was so exhausting. It took me over 20 years to really stop feeling the need to prove my worth. And I think what's also important is that I am a Christian. You know, how that really translates into my life is that I don't really push my faith onto other people, but it really guides my coaching. So when I'm with a client, I just really allow God's presence to flow out of me. So yes, you're right. I moved many, many times to get to where I am today. But I think it all started when I was in fourth grade in China. So I was given this opportunity to do a performance in front of the whole class, whole school actually. And I could pick anybody I wanted to join me. But my heart just went for this one girl who was so smart, brilliant, but very shy. And for some reason, she was being bullied. And my compassion just took over. And we practiced and practiced until finally we were on the stage. You know, without knowing it, a moment of transition came to me, Doug. And as I watched the girl dance on the stage with confidence and seeing all the kids, you know, even the bullies were cheering us up, that was the defining moment that I never forgot. And I just loved unlocking the potentials for this girl, and I knew I wanted to do more of it. So a bit more about my background. As I mentioned, I'm a first-generation immigrant. And yeah. I think I was being programmed since I was very young, you know, to become successful. Okay, whatever that meant. But as for a good Chinese daughter, being successful really meant either be a doctor, business person, or a scientist. And I was terrible with math. So I remember having these three choices in high school, you know, at the time, I was doing professional dancing, so I could become a dancer, or I always had this passion to attend fashion school, which I really love fashion because of the creative and the beauty side of fashion. But when I went home, having a discussion with my parents, that quickly all went out the window because as a good Asian first-generation kid, I decided to follow my dad's footsteps and enter into the business world. And I studied finance, had a lot to do with math. So, of course, you know, I felt stuck in my career. Yeah, and I worked in the finance industry in my 20s. The money was good. The people I worked with were nice. But the creative and the entrepreneurial part of me was never cultivated. And then I finally moved into the fashion industry, you know, my dream of fashion, right? And I felt stuck again because I saw so many broken people that I really wasn't trained to help them. That was really the beginning of the light bulb moment where I can call it now the change point, which reminds me of this Chinese character of danger in English. So it's composed with two words. The first word is opportunity, and the second word is crisis. A better translation is actually change point. So I think many times when we are feeling stuck, life is actually calling us for a time of change.
Interesting. Let me ask you a couple of questions before you go on. I know when you came here, you were like 14. You didn't speak English, did you, when you first came here? Is that right?
Not at all. I didn't even, like, you know, the alphabet.
That must have been very, very difficult for you, for any child, you know, to come here and all of a sudden you can't even speak the language. How did you master English, and how did you actually cope, you know, with other kids and people that you met when it was so difficult to communicate with them? Talk a moment about that.
Yeah, great question. I think I just, being the youngest child at home, my brother was 5 years older. He really had a hard time adjusting to America. My dad was a businessman. He traveled most of the time. So My mom didn't know English. I didn't know English. If anyone at home had to speak, it was me, right? So I didn't really have a lot of choices or chance to, like, sit behind and wait. I just put myself out there and start talking.
Well, that's good. That's great. Anyway, I know you obviously progressed. You did fairly well, obviously very well in school. And then you decided to, you know, go into the business world, even though the fashion world excited you. Did you give up on dance? How about that?
Well, I have to say yes. Once I got into college, you know, life just moved on. But I did learn how to salsa during my 20s and 30s. But it was not the professional dance, you know.
Well, I understand that. You know, I have family members who are heavily into dance as well, and they're just about to go to school, you know, in college, majoring in dance. And it's interesting to hear how other students of dance, whether they've stuck with it and tried to see where it would take them or not, you know. You headed into the business world. Where did you go to school, by the way? College.
Yeah, I went to college at University of Connecticut. So because my
great
brother
school.
Went there and it was closer to home. Yeah, great school. I studied finance, like I mentioned, right? I didn't like math, but it was my way to get into the corporate.
So tell me how you got into the fashion industry. Most people would think that's a fascinating industry to work in. I mean, you were working with were you working with Karl Lagerfeld in that firm, or when you say brands, it was, right? Okay. Amazing. That's
right,
quite a credit to you.
Actually, it is. I'm so grateful you asked me because I don't share that story often. So I got into the fashion industry when I was working in the finance industry, and we were investing in big shopping centers in China, and my boss was the ex-CEO of Burberry, right? So he talks about fashion.
Wow.
He talks about the glamour. I was just so fascinated by it. And then I had a lot of exposure to the retail people. So I was under a lot of pressure, crunching numbers. Some of the deals that we were working on were like $200-300 million. It was just a lot of pressure. So one summer, I told him, hey, you know, boss, I really would like to take a summer off and just go to Paris and take a fashion course, because, you know, he indoctrinated me of how great the fashion industry was. So I went. He let me go. Once I went there, Doc, it completely changed me. The fashion, the art, the creativity. I came back. I'm like, I'm quitting. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to go. So I went, and actually I started with my master's degree in the fashion industry. It's really hard to break in, right? So the French are very difficult, and they protect their luxury. Yeah, they protect their luxury business so well. So I went to one of the best schools there. And after graduation, I was fortunate enough, a colleague of mine from finance industry, she actually referred me to this big tycoon, like a billionaire, and her family invested into the Karl Lagerfeld business. So, yeah, I got a job. My first day was working in the atelier of Karl Lagerfeld. Of course, I got to meet him. I get to see the whole team. Just so, so wonderful.
Well, it sounds like it's such a fascinating life experience you had, and then you lived on, you were in Australia. You lived on in a number of various continents all over the world, Hong Kong included. It must have been amazing. So the big question comes down to, what was the inspiration behind your transition to become a life coach? What made you decide to do that?
Yeah, well, I think that had to do with why I left the fashion industry. You know, the fashion industry was so fun, so energetic, but I had a chain of bad bosses. If you watch the movie Devil Wears Prada, it's kind of like that, unfortunately, for some of my journey. So, so I had this, I basically, long story short, I decided to work for this one e-commerce company, publicly traded, and the boss assigned me to expand their international luxury department. So one day I went off to meet all of my team in Europe, and the CEO decided to hire another big boss to oversee the department. And the new boss had a very different vision, of course, right? And I soon became the casualty of war, and she wanted me out. So I thought a lot about, you know, how do I work well with difficult bosses? So I did things like I prayed, I got counsel, I read books, watched video. But looking back, I really believe that God was nudging me to lead that job. And that's how eventually I left the fashion industry and left Hong Kong and came back to the U.S. to study counseling. And counseling was actually what got me into coaching. And you know that 2 years later, after I left Hong Kong, riots broke out in Hong Kong, and many of the shops that I was working in with were completely destroyed.
Wow. Wow. Well, I think it's important to point out you came back, you studied, you have a master's degree in mental health counseling from the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, and you focus on family studies. You focus a lot on helping teenagers and young adolescents with depressions and a lot of couples to help them improve, as I understand it, their communications and to, as you have put it, step out of that vicious cycle of blame. Let's talk about how you help people. Mm. Number one, I gather you really love what you're doing right now. You love the fashion industry, but this is your real calling, what you're doing now. Is that right?
That's right, exactly. Yeah, so
I was just going to say, let's talk about what you do. Go ahead, talk. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I have two groups of clients. The first group are the young professionals in their 20s to 40s. They're very successful in their careers, and they're driven, right? They worked really hard to get to where they are. However, they tend to get stuck at some levels of their lives, whether it's work or relationships. And they're looking forward to go to the next step, but they may not know how, and they may feel exhausted, frustrated, or on the hamster wheel of life. So that's the group of clients that I love working with. I have a great example of this young banker in his 30s, and he's just very successful in his work, but he's swamped with work, right? He has no social life. His girlfriend left him, and he was told not to be a part of his best friend's wedding because they thought he would actually take a phone call during the wedding. And he was on like 4 to 5 hours of sleep, and he was really a mess. So he came to me for life coaching because his therapist didn't know what to do with him. You know, as we started to work together, we quickly discovered that he couldn't really say no to his colleagues or bosses, and he had very poor boundaries. So we dug deeper and found out that he was bullied in school. And ever since then, whenever he had to say no to his bosses, he felt like he was saying no. He was giving opportunity for the bullies to win. You know, in that case, we went behind to his past to really dig out the pain and the wounds. After that, we were able to really look into his future and to see, you know, what is his calling. And it's incredible how once we actually fixed the past, and he was so much ready to move into his future. So the second part of my clients groups are couples. I love working with couples because I really believe that families are the foundation of our society, and so many are broken. Just looking at my own story, when my dad left the U.S. when I was 4, so I really grew up sort of like in a single-parent home. It wasn't until when I was 14, my mom and my brother really came back to the U.S., right? So that's when our family was reunited. And I had a lot of resentment towards my dad during my teenage years. just seeing the conflict of family and how my parents' marriage suffered, that gave me a lot of compassion for families. So I love working with couples. A lot of them coming to talk about issues such as money, intimacy, family, life-changing related concerns, and they leave equipped with ways to just better communication, better with their communications, and they learn how to talk to each other without criticizing, and they feel more connected with their relationships.
Well, that's so important, so important. Let me ask you something. How do you get people to be comfortable with you and to open up and to be honest with you? It's kind of hard to do that, I would think. Obviously, you know, you have that magic touch. They're willing to talk, right? And talking, communication is so critically important. That's the important thing, right?
That's right. I totally agree. I think really making people feel like I'm there for them, I support them, I'm not judging them, right? So I think a big part of who I am is really my faith in Jesus. That's such a big part of my life. And one of my core values is to love God and to love people. So that when I'm in front of a client, I think about just how precious this person is to God, and that Jesus not only loves them, but he actually died for them on the cross. And that makes me value that person, that client, in such a deeper way than I could ever do, right? So I have a favorite verse from the Old Testament. I'm not sure if you have heard Prophet Jeremiah, where he says, I have the hope and the future, for I have the plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and the plans to give you hope and the future. Even though that was written for the ancient Israelites, but, you know, God's attitude towards people is the same. A big part of my work is to help people to see that plan, that there is a hope and there is a future. So when I'm in front of a person, I'm just present. I'm just there listening and allowing really that God to flow out of me into them.
But that's very interesting. That's good for you. Does it matter if the clients you're talking to or dealing with are not especially religious themselves? How about that?
Not at all. Great question. I think, you know, God loves people and he loves all people, right? And that's my attitude towards people. Like I mentioned, I don't impose my faith onto people, but, you know, I see a client and I just really want to love on them. So many of them are so broken. So many of them don't have the opportunity to share their secrets, their hurts, their pain, and they don't know who to share, who to talk to about their future. And I want to be that person to give them that space to process.
Do you have to be very clear with your clients about when it's therapy and when it's coaching that you're doing with them? How about that?
Yeah, great question, Doug. Especially with coaching clients who may not be familiar with therapy. So my therapy training has been really, really helpful. When I'm working with my clients, I am able to go back and address their pain. So the banker example, as I mentioned, that's a great example where, you know, we started initially try to set goals and try to go forward, but then he was really stuck, right? Then we start to analyze, okay, where is the point that he cannot move? And then we discovered it was his boundary issues. Once we discover that, we are able to move forward.
Well, that's important. That's so important. Let's talk a little bit about the way you help clients and how long you work with them, how long it takes to have a breakthrough, you know, where they really have conquered some of the problems that they have. What's typical? And by the way, what's an initial session with you like? And I assume, I could be wrong, but I assume you're still doing much of this virtually, right? Because of COVID, you haven't been able to meet with people, you know, face-to-face, right?
Yeah, and the good thing about virtual is I have clients in Hong Kong, I have clients in France, and, you know, I have clients all over America, and that's the beauty of virtual. I would say it all depends. I have some clients who are very clear what they wanted to work on, so they come into the session. I have a 4-session package, and they get where they need it, and they go on. Some clients just love life coaching. You know, it's such a great opportunity to have someone who has faith in you, who constantly listens and challenges you. And that is where I have clients I've been working with for 3 years now. They're still with me.
So it continues. It goes on. And generally, are you in touch with your clients like on a weekly basis or biweekly basis, I guess, for conversations of maybe an hour in length? Is that about right?
Yes, that's correct. So most of my sessions are under 1 hour, and I talk to them weekly. Some of them I talk to them monthly, but for the ones we first get started, I like to see them more frequent until we find a pattern, until we find out, you know, what is the goal for the client to move forward.
I find it really interesting that that you have training that most life coaches really don't have, because you have the training as a therapist, you have a life psychology background, which goes a big way toward helping your clients feel comfortable and being vulnerable, which is important. You bring a lot to the table, let's put it that way, that a lot of other coaches don't. Give me another success story, an example of a success story. You know, we have a couple of minutes. Of someone who came to you and was really troubled, really having problems, and after working with you for a while, you know, their life changed.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Absolutely. I would love to give you, an example of this couple in their 30s. They came to improve their relationships, and they were starting to notice that their intimacy and conversations, communications were dropping. So during dinners, they would be watching TV or on their phone. They knew something wasn't right, but they couldn't figure out what to do. So when we went back, when we started to work together, we went back to look at when things started to change. And the couple recalled a few years ago, the guy actually went to a bachelor's party with his friends, and they hired a stripper, right? And maybe they did some stuff he regretted. He came back and never told his girlfriend back then. And when she found out, she was so betrayed. She felt betrayed. She felt hurt. They tried to talk about it a few times, but the conversations never went anywhere. It was more accusations followed by defenses. So to get back at him, she went and hired a stripper for herself. This, of course, made the whole thing even worse. So we both came to me. They were afraid. They were, you know, they just didn't know how to restore their intimacy. Our work together was so powerful, Doug, as the couples began to learn how to share their hurts and their deep wounds. Without criticizing, without judging, they learned how to validate and listen to each other, and that was incredible. I watched as their tears falling down and their hearts were melting, love restored.
Jane, that's so fascinating and interesting to hear. I wish we had so much more time. I want to point out we've been talking with Jane Song. Her website is janesonglifecoach.com. It's very simple, janesonglifecoach.com. If you want to get in touch with her, go look at that website. There's a lot to learn there, a lot of information, and she's a remarkable lady. So we thank her so much for being our guest today here on Close Up Talk Radio. Great. Thank you so much, Jane. We appreciate it.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We sure do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, everybody. Till then, take care.